Today we're doing something a little bit different, faction focus. I wanted to start talking about the different factions for Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. First though, I'll kick off with what this is and what this isn't. This is not a tutorial on how to play Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. This is more of a deep dive into the different armies that are available in the game Heroes, Land, Air, and Sea. There are actually 10 that I know of for now. There might be more, but I have 10. I have the base game, then I have the Plague and Pestilence expansion, and the Air and Sea expansion. So there's 4 and 4 and 2, which brings it to a total of 10. Today, what I wanted to do was talk about the Humans faction. All that's known for certain is that humans, the youngest race, first sailed to Ogmore from far away. The specifics of their homeland have been lost to time, but there are those who maintain that they're not native to this world. Pointing to the design of their water and aircraft, the few that have preserved the old ways claim the extraordinary vessels once traveled amongst the stars, regardless of its exact origin. Human civilization has shown an unprecedented explosion in economic and cultural growth in its new home. The originally nomadic humans discovered an affinity for the open plains, and their territories now delineate the far-reaching meadows of Ogmore. Families sit by firelight for hours contemplating the unobscured night sky as their children share their dreams of one day becoming a paladin, a human conduit of light and righteousness. Perhaps the spiritual connection they feel with the boundless heavens is indeed evidence that they once traversed the interstellar beyond. This history has become tiresome, though, to the many humans who now bathe in the luxuries of mana. Goblets overflow in taverns with deep red wines artfully crafted from the finest combinations of sorcery and horticulture. Crops, as much conjured as they are cultivated, and the bounty is often lush and plenty enough to invoke impressions of an agricultural empire in even the smallest settlement's fields. Before the smoke rising from sacked villages clouded Ogmore skies, human farmers ate like kings, and their royalty feasted like the gods themselves. War has fallen on Ogmore, and the life of the king has been claimed by the murderous Elven Shadow Guild. With no named heir to the throne, preparation for impending battle now falls to the people. As mysticism is retrofitted for war, citizens of the Human Alliance have reclaimed the old ways, harvesting their yield by sweat and stamina. Keepers of archaic naval tradition and members of the religious order alike have been called upon to defend the development of mankind. They strengthen their bodies and minds, ready to meet the contentious races that threaten their distinguished evolution with justice and swift, irrevocable retribution. That's right from the box. I'm not going to pretend like I made all of that up. That's right from the box. That's the lore for the humans. There are 3 heroes for each faction. This particular faction, there is a paladin, a mage, and a swashbuckler. There's the paladin. Says here, from boyhood, Laelithar dreamed of one day bringing peace to Ogmore. He devoted himself to this cause, driving his ascent in the luminous cathedral to the Order of the Paladins. When he realized there would be no peace for his noble race, though it was with a heavy heart, he drew a hard line between the humans and the other factions. So the paladin here, he requires a cathedral to be built before you can summon the paladin. A level 1 capital, if you have the cathedral, lets your warriors get +1 strength if battling in a plains region. That's where you can harvest food. If you upgrade your capital level 2, the warriors may occupy plains regions, worker spaces, and collect if they were serfs. Normally, only serfs can collect food, but this says warriors can collect food if you have a level 2 cathedral. Level 3 cathedrals say heroes cost 2 fewer resources of your choice to recruit. So that's kind of nice. It lowers the food cost for all of the heroes that you're going to recruit. Now the paladin. He gains +1 movement for a level 1 citadel if at least one serf is in his army. So if he's walking with a serf, he'll have +1 movement. +1 attack if at least one serf is in his army, and gain 2 victory points if the paladin wins a battle and at least one serf is in his army. So he really gathers the masses and says, come with me, we're gonna go fight a war. That brings us to the university. Now the university is what spawns the mage. A citadel level 1 will let you may always tax instead of another capital action. So I guess the mage just pretty much captures a bunch of food, mana, or ore. When you research on level 2, you may pay 1 food to draw 1 extra spell card. Up to three extra spell cards. So you could draw quite a few. And then the level 3 citadel says each plains region you control at the end of the game is worth an additional victory point. That could be a game changer for sure. If you're harvesting all those plains with your paladin or your warriors, plus your serfs, getting all that food, spending less of it on your heroes because you have the level 3 cathedral, that could pay off in the end. Now the mage. It's Prince Orn. As headmaster of Ogmore's most prestigious university of magic, Prince Orm's many noble pupils afforded him a nobility of his own. First to develop spells of luxury, Orn's reputation grew with the royal families. His incantations alone are known to spring an entire crop to bloom. but his real power lies in his manipulation of the dark magic of war. His abilities include, with a level 1 university, when collecting resources, you may collect any resources from the mage's region instead of its normal resource. When the mage attacks you on level 2, when the mage attacks, you may pay any resources in any combination to cast spells. Super handy. And level 3, when the mage attacks, combat spells cost half of their mana, rounded down. So not only can he spend anything in lieu of mana, he spends half of it. That takes us to the tavern. When an army containing serfs enters a plains region, gain 1 food. Just when they enter a plains region, you gain a food. You don't even have to wait to harvest it. Level 2, towers built in a plains region will cost 2 less ore, which is super nice because, as you know, the towers cost 1 per space away. So the farther they are away, the more they cost. But if you put it in a plains, it will cost 2 less. And last, if you have two serfs in a plains region, that region also collects 2 mana. Now, I've never had it where I had all 3 buildings and a level 3 capital. However, with the human synergy here, you'd be collecting a lot of food and a lot of mana and spending very little of it if you just recruited the mage out of all of that. That could be really, really powerful. So with the tavern comes the swashbuckler. Now, this was a very interesting story when I read it last night. This is Mabel and Mabe. Mabel and her pet monkey, Mabe. This legendary duo met on the Isle of Yelan, where Mabel's treacherous crew left her wounded to die. She found a capuchin monkey with a damaged limb of her own trapped under a fallen palm tree. Nursing her back to health, Mabel named her after the only person she could trust, herself. She named her Mabe. With their combined wits, they escaped their island prison and have since been the most daring pair in the open sea. She costs 5 food, unless you have the cathedral. She would cost 3 food. Her abilities are that vessels are +1 movement when she is aboard. She's a swashbuckler, by the way. Her level 2 ability is +1 attack if on a vessel. And her level 3 is when the swashbuckler defeats an enemy vessel, she captures and pilots it until it's destroyed or she leaves it, then it returns to the player's supply. So take their opponent's vessel, use it, destroy it, whatever you want to do, and then it goes to their supply, so they have to re-recruit it or build it again in a future action. Let's see, the sea dock. This galleon collects 2 food if in a sea region. Boy, these guys collect a lot of food. I mean, humans eat a lot of food. That's level 1. Level 2. When in a sea region, the galleon may start a battle with units in an adjacent region. Gain 1 strength for that battle. This includes attacking land units from a sea region. So they could pretty much start a fight in a land region while this is in a sea region. And level 3, if the galleon battles a lone serf or warrior, that unit instantly dies. So if you leave your guys alone on the shore and this boat comes calling, it's going to auto-kill your guy. Do be aware of that. And then that brings us to the airship. The air spire allows the serfs in your courtyard, they are considered adjacent to the airship. So that's pretty wild. They just hop onto the airship and then hop off anywhere the airship is as part of their movement. Level 2, the airship collects 2 resources of its region's type. So it also collects resources. And level 3, the airship is +2 attack when battling vessels. So we've talked about the heroes. We've talked about the buildings. Now let's talk about where their strengths are, maybe with some of the strategies. It really seems to me that their strengths lie in resource production. Not only resource production, but then lowering resource costs. I could really see you maxing out and staying high on the resource track with your food, mana, and ore. If you did it right, you'd have a surplus a lot of the time. I think scribing spells would be a really good idea with the mage who pays half for playing those spells. A lot of abilities you could manipulate with the lowered costs. The paladin with 1 serf, he'd have 2 movement and 5 attack, and he'd have 1 attack, so the 2 of them alone would be 7 attack. That's pretty darn strong. And then the airship being allowed to collect resources, which we kind of talked about, the ability for the humans to collect resources is phenomenal. So that's going to wrap it up for the humans faction focus. I hope you enjoyed what we brought to you today. And as always, we'll catch you at the next boardroom meeting.